Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus, that you bless us, Lord God, and that you keep us, that your will be our very desire, that where your heart is where we want to be. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask forgiveness for our sins, and we ask to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, Lord God, that we will be used by you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word, Lord God. Let this word come from heaven on high and touch the ears of those that are listening. In Jesus' name, as we extrapolate the word of God, in Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And all those that agree, said amen. 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 When he was come down, we're in Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1. The scripture says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Thou be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. So we see here in the first four verses how Jesus healed a leper. Now, a lot of people might want to concentrate on the healing. I want to concentrate on Jesus. Look at the position that the Lord took. And look at the position that the leper took. Let's concentrate on the individual instead of just the healing. Because everyone that teaches this concentrates on the healing alone and miss some very important things. It says, in one, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So Jesus went up on the mountain. Usually when Jesus went up on the mountain, he went up on the mountain to pray. And just as soon as he went somewhere and got filled with himself, with the word of God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with whatever he had to get filled with, when he went on the mountain or even just rested, he came prepared and great multitudes followed him. Wherever this man went, people followed him. They flocked to him because they wanted something from him. And I say this to people that you have to get the understanding that when you carry the word of God, people are going to want from you. They may not want for you, but they're going to want from you. And they're going to always desire and require something from you. So when you have your hands and you handle the word of God, people are going to want to be touched by that word. They're going to want to be blessed by that word. They're going to want to be touched by the anointing that is on your life. When you show yourself as the man of God, they're going to want something from you. Always. Always. And then in 2, it says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So listen, I have a question with this, because for people that were lepers, they were not supposed to come into the city. People that were lepers had an encampment outside of the city. See? So the idea that this leper just showed up, and I'm quite sure it's explained in more detail in another scripture, but I was not going to pull that or extrapolate from that at this time. Because the points that I need to make is right in this passage. It says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. This leper, this one that was on the outside of the camp, he didn't have time to go to church. He was a leper. Now, I don't know what he knew in his childhood, but once he became a leper, he was not allowed inside the city. So they weren't in city range because Jesus had just came out the mountain. And evidently, he must have knew where Jesus was because he asked a specific question. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he asked a specific question. But look at the thing that blew me away. He worshipped him. So the leper knew how to worship. The one that was sick and downtrodden knew how to worship. The one that was not in the church, right, not in right standing with the people, or not in fellowship with the people, but kind of ostracized on the outside. He worshiped him. How do we know? Because the scripture said he worshiped him. And it says, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he's saying, and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How did he worship the Lord? By asking, will you make me clean? No. He put the decision in the Lord's hand, therefore worshiping him. He said, if thou wilt. In other words, Lord, I'm asking this, but only if you will. I need this, but only if you will. I would like this, but only if you will. He says, if thou will. And let's read the scripture again. And behold, this number two. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, look at how he worshipped him. He was saying this, Lord, if thou wilt. He gave total authority, total honor, total glory to the Lord before he asked for himself. He said, if you will. See, a lot of us, you got people getting up there talking about, move right now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now. You got people commanding from the Lord and then asking something. And then they sit there looking stupid because they don't get it, because they didn't worship him. In a simple word, he worshiped him. Lord, if thou will. In other words, it's your decision, Lord. And he didn't even know what the answer was. He came standing in faith, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand in three and said, and touched him, saying, I will. He worshiped him in the form of a question. Jesus responded to him by answering the question, I will. And it is from this and from other passages, knowing God's spirit and knowing who God is in his heart for people and his loving kindness, it is the will of the Lord that we be healed. You don't have to wait to get like the leper until you're ostracized and put outside. It is God's will that we be healed. And if you need confirmation, all you got to do is remember this leper. This leper said, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. And then he responded, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, he asked a question before he asked for his healing. Jesus responded to his question before he answered his healing. And that question that he asked was in the form of worship. And Jesus responded first to what? Worship. Why is that important? Because sometimes we may not know the words to say, but we know a song. Sometimes we may not know what to do, but we know how to glorify his name. Sometimes we may not know what to say, but we know how to praise him. Sometimes we may not be able to concentrate on prayer, but we know how to lift up holy praises onto his name. We need to start doing the things that makes him happy first before we start asking for things for ourselves. And a lot of times we don't do that. And that's why we don't see the thing. We put ourselves first before we put the Lord. Disavowing his authority, disavowing his majesty, disavowing his glory, just shutting him down and saying, do this because I'm your child, like you're entitled. We have come into an entitlement situation. But just because you sit here and you say you love God does not give you the right to have entitlement or get anything from the Lord. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the matter is, you were created for him. He was not created for you. And so we have to back up our mentality and get to the place where we say, if thou will, and wait for his reply, I will. And in 4, Jesus said unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So, he said, "See that you tell no man." In other words, don't go bragging about how much Jesus healed you. Just go to them people who knew you were a leper and show yourself. And then pay the tithe or pay the offering or pay whatever it is that you, as the law of Moses commanded you to. Whatever it is you're supposed to do in the temple, pay that. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason why I'm saying that, this is not running guilt and this is not begging for tithe. This is what I'm saying. When you are happy that the Lord has done something for you, then you have no problem giving to the Lord. Let me say it again. This man just got healed. He humbled himself and asked the Lord, "If you will." God responded, "I will." And then he touched him and he got clean. And then look at what he said. "Go and tell no man." I don't want you to open your mouth and speak anything about me healing you. I don't want you to tell everybody what's going on. What people do is they're too busy running their mouth about the good things of God. And you're opening the door for demons and devils to come in and try to attack everything that the Christians do. Because you think they're good, they're not good. People pray against the glory of God. People pray against the things that he has called you to do. When people are not with you, they are against you. When people don't stand with you, they are for you. And if you're running back telling them everything you're doing in God, he says, go and don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody about the healing. Don't tell nobody what you just seen. You didn't just see a healing. You seen a miracle. You didn't just see a miracle. You seen the glory of God come. Plus you seen how he respects his authority. You got a key into the light of kingdom as to how he operates. All this just in this little step. And guess what happened? And see what happened. He said, go and tell nobody. Sometimes we got to get tight-lipped. And quit telling people everything, the move that the Lord told. The Lord told you to go do something, quit going to tell everybody. You get with the people that's going to pray for you and pray with you. Quit telling them devils that's praying against you. Because the one you think is praying for you, if they're not on their knees with you, if they're not in prayer with you, they are praying against you. See? And how much does it take for you to see that somebody's against you? They're always against you. They don't want to see you do good in God. Why? Because it shines a light on their cracks. And when that light is on their cracks, they don't want nobody to see the cracks in their, the kinks in their armor and the cracks in their wear. See? So they don't pray for you. They will even go so far. Lord, this is a good thing that he's doing. But Lord, he ain't right. Don't let him get it. See? Sometimes we open our mouths and we set up standard against the ministry. And we don't realize that. Quit running your mouth. You get a group of people, the people that are close to you, and you talk to those people. And you guys come together and pray. Everything in your life is not the church's business. Quit telling them. Quit telling them. Because Pete, just like there are Christians out there who are praying for you, who you know is praying for you, there are just as many devils praying against you. Mm-hmm. And if you think that is not true, then you have been deceived. You have been deceived. That's the thing that people don't understand. The devil ain't got to show up in church no more. He got people in church sitting there waiting, praising the Lord, worshiping, falling all over the ground, performing for the pastor, falling all over the church floor, just like everybody else. Instead of giving glory to the name of God, they don't even know how to read their word. They don't even know how to pray. When you find people that are not, Jesus said this. He said this in the 8th chapter of John. I think it's around 30. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I text that to a lot of people this morning. Because if you do not continue in his word, then you don't know his truth. And if you don't know his truth, then you don't know how to be free. All of that is connected to his word. So people who are not in this word will pray against you. They will not pray for you. So let them discover what it is you're doing on their own. Quit telling them. while you're in the building stage because they're praying against you. They're trying to shut you down. And that's why sometimes it's so hard. Sometimes it's hard for us to get things going here and hard for us to stand, and we have great opposition here. Why? Because people who say they love us don't really love us. They don't like the idea that we're doing what we're doing, and they're standing against us. And they're standing against us in their faith. They're standing against us in their prayer. They're standing against us. They're praying against us. They're praying that we fail. See, when you have great opposition, it takes a longer time to do it. How do I know that? Because what happened when Daniel prayed? It took Michael the archangel to come and fight the enemy 21 days before he got that prayer. And it had to be brought to him. And he said, what took you so long? It's 21 days. And the angel answered and said, and 21 days ago, God answered your prayer. But I had to fight the prince of Persia to get it down here to you. So don't think that there's not great opposition set up against your prayer. If you're trying to feed and all of a sudden you get stopped, there's a reason for that. Opposition. If you're trying to open up this and you get stopped, there's a reason for that. Opposition. So learn from Jesus and learn from the things he's saying. Before he said, and Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. Why would he say that? Because he didn't want people in opposition to what he was doing. They were already going to be in opposition when they saw it. They were already going to come against him when they saw it. He doesn't want people from the onslaught of him starting his ministry to start this mess so early. Let me get some things under my belt so I can stand up under the scrutiny of their lies. See? See that you tell no man. He said, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the testimony unto them. So then look at the other side of that. What happened when the priest saw that the man that they knew that had leprosy was healed? Of course they're going to question, how did you get healed? And Jesus commanded him, don't tell it. Don't tell it. See, he commanded it. See, that was for a reason. And in 5, let's go on. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came on him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant liveth at home, lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now I'm going to stop there before we go on. He said, I have found not such great faith. No, not in the people of Israel. Jeremiah, sit down and stop. Sit down. Thank you, son. Shh. I'm taping. I love you. So, I'm sorry about that. So, getting back, because this is very important. He says, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. So Israel, the chosen people, didn't even display this kind of faith. He found this faith in a Roman centurion. Because this man understood something that the children of God didn't understand. He said, I don't have to see it. I tell them to go and they go. And I know they're going to do what I told them to do. I tell them to come and they come. I tell them to do this and I tell them to do that. Because by faith, he understood the line and the hierarchy of authority. See, under authority, you will find great faith. The king does not have to go out there and tell a person, I need you to do, let me show you how to slop the pigs. That's not what the king has to do. The king says, I need the pigs slopped. And when he walks out there, he sees the pigs have been slopped. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he stands in the place of authority. And by faith, he knows that there's a punishment to his authority. If you don't do what I'm asking you to do, then I will have to deal with you. I will have to deal with you. So, if you look here, he's saying, this man came to him and his servant was sick of the palsy. He was grievously tormented. And he wanted him to come and heal him. But then he showed him that he said, I'm not worthy that you should come up under my roof. But just speak the word, and I know that it'll be done, because I'm a man of authority. I tell people to go, and I tell them to come. And they do exactly what I tell them to do this, and they do that. I tell them to do that other, and they do the other. So I understand authority. I understand faith. And Jesus said, I have not seen this in Israel, no, not in none, amongst none of his brothers. And so 11, he says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at what he's saying. He said, I say unto you that there shall be many that come from the east, the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he's putting an emphasis on faith. There's going to be many of those that come from great places, from far places, and sit down in faith. And they're going to sit down with Abraham. They're going to sit down with Isaac. They're going to sit down with the children of Israel. And he's saying this at a time where these men are already dead. So they're going to sit in the place where these men sit because of their faith. See? But the children of the kingdom, of this world, shall be cast into outer darkness. See? Where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed from that in that same or self-same hour. So his faith healed his servant. His faith healed a man. In another place he said he's more like a son than a servant. He's been with the man for a very long time. And that man loved his servant. He treated his servant good. And he came to plead to that servant's God for his cause. And guess what the Lord did? He healed him. And Jesus was willing to go into the centurion's roof. He said, oh no, I'm not worthy that you should come to my roof. I understand. Now, what is the centurion showing? The same thing that the other one showed. Great respect for the Lord. And it's almost, if he was a Jew, then it would have been almost fair to say that he worshipped Jesus by his understanding of faith. See? That's good news for the Gentile church. Because we are not Jews. We are Gentiles. We are Gentiles saved by grace. See? So, having been endowed with this power from on God through this faith, we have faith in God Almighty, and we honor him and we glorify him and we worship him. But that faith is not there for the tangible things that you want. That faith is there to strengthen your belief in him. Do you believe God? Do you believe him? We don't believe God. How do I know we don't believe God? Because we get fearful. See? Even though the Bible said 365 times, do not fear. That's one for every day of the year. But we get fearful. Where's your faith? Where's your understanding? They who do not study the word of God will never have the understanding of God. They who do not have the understanding of God will never be able to stand in faith. This centurion didn't even read the things of God. But what the centurion did is that he knew that he was a man of authority. And based upon his own life, he knew that Christ was in authority. He recognized the authority of God, even though he was not his God. And he worshiped him as such, just like the leper. Who do you worship? Mm-hmm. Who do you worship? Who do you give credence to? Who do you bow your heart to? Who do you bow your knee to? What is more important to you than anything upon this earth? Is it how you feel? Is it how you think? Or is it the God Almighty? I'm telling you the truth. I would have everything in this world if I could. But if I had to sacrifice it for the Lord Jesus Christ, I would do it in a heartbeat, because I found in him the greatest of pearls. In that field, there is nothing more greater than Jesus Christ. And I hope you bow your heart and your knee to him. If you operate in faith, you will have that which you can receive. If you can see it, you can achieve it. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you bless this time, that you bless everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that they would get the message of the centurion and of great faith, and how he did what he did, and how he went and walked and touched and healed and delivered. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this message. In Jesus' name, help us all. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step into the light, because deep in your
right, don't delay. Stop making rich your world anyway. Cause what you said, I tempt the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you're lying. Ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know we good for lies. Rebuke the keep on stepping, that's your weapon and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter what he learn. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend. Cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming, get ready, only children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming, get ready, only children. Now if he came right now, then tell me what you would do. Cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors. And yet he forgave you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire and the pain will never cease. Plus ain't no getting out though, you begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit to the angel of death. You better think about it before you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.